Dewey, good morning to you, mate. We didn't get the chance to talk to you yesterday, but, gee, there was a buzz from our listeners and from us. The absolute drumming we gave India in that first ODI. And, look, we even said, Sean and I and Jamie as well, it's nice beating the Poms, but there's nothing better than sticking it to some somewhat arrogant Indians.
Morning, boys. Yeah, we gave them an absolute slacking, didn't we? We bowled. Actually, I think we bowled really well. I know the batting bit sort of takes care of itself when you talk about it. Two blokes getting 100 at the top of the order, but look, they were going okay, and two blokes really were one for about 70, and they were doing it quite easily. And then the middle order, Adam Zampa, Mitchell Stark picked up a wicket, got Kohli out, and then they sort of lost two or three very quickly, and they were always behind the eight ball, but. Mate, it goes to show India, whilst they're a quality team, there's no question about it. They've got some unbelievable players in that team. They're not invincible. And the Aussies, after what's been a pretty dominant summer of cricket, or very dominant summer, they've flown over to India and, you know, as I said, taken India to the sword.
And Stewie, Happy New Year, mate. It's Mossy. Haven't spoken to you this year yet, so I hope you had a great festive season with the family. Mate, five Aussies named in the ICC Test Team of the Year. You were full of praise, I remember hearing last week, for the Australian bowlers. How relentless are they as a unit? And how do you think they compare to your era of pacemen?
Oh, look, the four guys we've got now are as good as any pace quartet awesome we've had for the last 30 years, probably the last 40 years, because, mate, they're all, you know, 6'5", they all bowl 140 kilometres an hour, they can all do plenty with the ball, they're good with the old ball, they're good with the new ball, they're playing, you know, some of the wickets they've played on are pretty flat and pretty docile, but just their airspeed, it just puts you on the back foot, it's just nasty, there's no respite, very hard to compare eras, but, you know, you think about back to the big West Indian era of the 80s, where they had just had four menacing fast bowlers that bowled fast and were uncomfortable. And whilst, you know, it's very, as I said, hard to compare, these guys are the same in the sense that you just don't get a break. And when you do get a break, you get Nathan Lyon, who's, you know, got 385 or 89 test wickets and bowls well on any surface. So as a batting unit for the opposition you play against, it's almost... Yeah, you're always on the go. There's no easy period where they bring on the bloke that, you know, you can score off or something like that. It's just it's either nasty and fast, or you've got a guy, you know, just turning him out of the rough the whole time. And, you know, it just wears batting teams down.
And, Stu, I'd love to get your opinion on this. Shawnee and I were very, very forthright in our opinion that the first player picked in the ICC Test Team of the Year, if you had to put all your money on him, was Steve Smith. Your opinion?
Oh, it's pretty hard to go past that. There's a few blokes in that Australian team that you could probably say the same about. The way Marnus Lovechane finished the season, he'd probably be right up there in that discussion as well. And then you've also got, what about Pat Cummins? The guy bowls in all conditions, new ball, old ball, gets wickets, bats, fields, does everything. Australia are very blessed at the moment. They've got three, four, potentially five guys that, you know, when you're talking about first picked, of course, but you could stick them in there and it wouldn't be a disappointment.
Stewie, Ben Stokes named the ICC Men's Cricketer of the Year. Who would have been your shout if you were giving that award out?
look, I think Pat Cummins, I think, was the Test Cricketer of the Year. Ben Stokes across all forms. Oh, look, Virat Kohli goes pretty close. Steve Smith goes pretty close. Probably didn't have the best one-day series of the World Cup. I don't think Ben Stokes is an unfair winner, but again, it's very subjective to who you follow.
Yeah.
You know, if you're an Englishman, you'd be going, oh, definitely Ben Stokes. As an Australian, you're probably going, well, Steve Smith, David Warner. And as an Indian, you're probably saying Virat Kohli.
Yeah, well, we've had plenty of texts on Ben Stokes, mate, saying, you know, no good. He sort of, you know, has these one-hit wonder moments, but in terms of being the overall best player in the world... They didn't agree. Do you agree that he is the best player in the world?
Look, he bowls, he bats, he fields. You've got to look at it in context. Is he the best player in the world? Well, mate, in some games, well, the World Cup final, the game at Headingley, he was the best player in the world.
Yep.
Is he the best player in the world consistently? Probably not. But then again, you look at certain moments when he's on song with the bat or the ball, then you could probably you can mount a case for him to be the best player. Oh, absolutely, you could. Whether it's right or wrong, mate, that's, and again, it's very subjective to Are we looking at it as a consistency thing? Are we looking at it, you know, numbers wise, or are we looking at it as he can win you a game without you even without doing anything?
We move on to the second ODI, mate, tomorrow. We've got that early Big Bash match on. We are outsiders again in this particular one. The Indians, they'll be... What's it like over there with their media, mate? Are they ruthless in terms of, you know, like, say, when our cricket team is losing, you know, we spend the big sports, you know, big sports breakfast will spend hours on it, you know, who should be in the team, who shouldn't be in the team. Is the Indian media landscape like that, or will they just sort of go, look, we've lost, but we're going to go bigger and better in this next one?
Well, look, it's been a few years since I've been there, but like most media, it's gone gangbusters and everyone's got a camera. If you think the big sports breakfast is ruthless, take times it by about 200, and that's what the Indian media are like on the Indian cricket team when they get beaten. They will tear them apart, from Virat Kohli to whoever. They don't care. Their whole life revolves around being successful at cricket. Their whole lively, the way they think, everything about them is cricket, and that's why, you know, 90% of the revenue of the game comes out of that country, because they live, breathe and eat it. So they will be all over them like a kid looking for a lolly. I was going to say something else.
I know you were.
Don't talk about lollies when Dave Stanley's on the air. We talked about meat
like
pies.
We talked... on a lolly. There you go. Like Dave Stanley on a pie.
Stu, the Matthew Mottery signed as coach of the Australian women's cricket team. The Australian squad gets named today for the World T20 here in Australia, starting February 21. How big can this tournament be for that team? But more importantly, more broadly, I suppose, women's cricket in Australia.
Well, it's massive. Australia have got the best team. There's no question about that. They've had, I suppose, the last 3 or 4 years, they've been pretty dominant no matter where and how and when they've played. They've got some quality players in that team. And, you know, the Healy's and the Perry's and the Meng Lanning. So, a quality team. I actually think this tournament's going to be massive in Australia. There's a lot of promotion of it at the moment. There's a lot of hype around the girls playing cricket. There's a lot of hype around female sport, which is great. So, from that point of view, I actually think this tournament's going to be a real hit with the public. Great for Matthew Mott. He was coach of New South Wales there for a few years while I was playing, and a good guy and does a good job with the girls' team. But they're pretty successful and they're pretty dominant. And, you know, we all love a winner. So from that point of view, the Australian female team are going to be right at the forefront for the next couple of months as we lead into it.
And, Stewie, a little action tonight on the Big Bash front. Sydney Sixers up against Hobart. Hurricane Sixers, $1.60 phase for that with tab.com.au. How are things going to play out at the SCG a little later tonight?
Well, the Sixers are running second, I think, in the Big Bash. So they're playing. I was a bit disappointed with the Thunder last night. I thought they should have won that game. But, you know, against the Melbourne Renegades, who were legless for pretty much the whole season. But tonight, Sixers, mate, they've got a pretty good team with Philippi at the top of the order, Moses. You know, they can get the job done. There's no question about that. It really depends on how the first two or three go with the bat, James, Vince. If they can get those blokes in, I think they bowl well enough. Tom Curran down the bottom of the order and with the ball. They've got coverage across the park, but don't forget you've got blokes like Matthew Wade and stuff like that running around and George Bailey in his final year for the Hobart Hurricanes. But I'd imagine the Sixers would be the team I'd go for.
Tip for tomorrow night, mate, India v Australia, that second ODI?
Australia were good in the first one. I'm going to go with, you know, India to bounce back and make it a really thrilling third game.
And last but not least, mate, I saw on social media Matt Hayden on Instagram go down to the markets, right? But he put the fake beard on, the glasses, the hat. Like, he went undercover, and I sort of thought, oh, okay, this is a G-up. Like, he's, you know, trying to, you know, trick someone. But it's actually, you got to do that to go out and about in the marketplace and go shopping. Did you ever have to put the wig on or the beard in India?
No, mate, I didn't. Thank you for good question. Matthew Hayden, he probably put the beard and all that to go down there because I think he wants to do that sort of stuff. But that's more a personal issue of like us getting dressed up. But they sort of wander down the street and look, Matthew Hayden's commentating over there, so he's right at the forefront. I used to ask this about a couple of the commentators just doing a bit of stuff with ABC and Harsher, and he said, no, you can go out to dinner and you can do all that sort of stuff. Maybe Virat Kohli, maybe can't do it, and Sachin Tendulkar, but I'm not sure about Matthew Hayden. Mind you, being 6'5" and blonde hair, he's going to stand out, isn't he?
I had to laugh, mate, because there's a video. It's on his Instagram. He's buying a fake watch. Well, I'm tipping it is. It's $1.01. It's fake. But he's bartering with the bloke. You know, he's got plenty in the tank. He's got the big property, the boat at Stratty, and he's going, oh, give us something less George, with the beard on.
Big Hados always been a bit frugal with the dollars. You know that.
Mate, we'll talk to you next week, and let's hope the Aussies can give them another shellacking tomorrow night.
Well, I want the Aussies to win, definitely, but you know it'll be a tough ask given India. They'll be hurting, and there'll be a big chance they're going to bounce back. But I'd love to see the Aussies win.
Fantastic. See you, mate.
Good on you, boys.
Good on you, Stuart.